No.
This is Creepy, a podcast dedicated to sharing the most famous, chilling, and disturbing creepypastas and urban legends in the world. Whether these stories truly happened or are simply fabrications is for you to decide. These stories may contain graphic depictions of violence and explicit language. Listener discretion is advised.
Creepy presents The Holders series. Number 85. The Holder of Sorrow. In any city, in any country, go to any mental institution or halfway house you can get yourself to. When you reach the front desk, ask to visit someone who calls himself the Holder of Sorrow. The worker will frown and bite his lip. Hesitantly, he will lead you deep within the facility until you reach a rusted, charred iron door. He will open the door for you, and you must enter the darkness beyond it in complete silence. Once you are inside, the worker will quietly close the door and bolt it shut. You will hear the many screams of tortured souls within a few meters of you. Should the screams stop at any time, quickly scream at the top of your lungs,
"I do not feel sorry for you!"
If they do not resume, hope for a quick death, as it is useless to run. However, if the screams return, continue walking forward in darkness. Keep walking until you see a dim light glow in front of you. Once this happens, immediately halt and stare at it. You will be tempted to look upon the faces of the tormented beings hanging on the walls, and they will plead for your help. Do not answer their cries, for if you avert your eyes from the light, your mind will instantly be shattered, and you will reflexively begin to gouge your eyes out. The light will reveal a man standing with his back to you, and his presence will cause the screams around you to subside. He will only respond to one question.
"Who will be spared when they come together?"
He will whirl around to meet your gaze and answer your question with excruciating detail. Do not interrupt his speech. What would happen if you do could not be described by the most sick and twisted criminal in the history of the world. When he is done, he will hand you what appears to be an ordinary rock. He will back away from you, the glow of the mysterious light fading away. The words will begin to ring in your mind. "He who is without sin shall cast the first stone." Close your eyes and count to 10. When you open them, you will be standing in front of the front desk in the institution. The stone is Object 85 of 538. Number 86. The Holder of the Lens. In any city, in any country, go to any mental institution or halfway house you can get yourself into. When you reach the front desk, ask to visit someone who calls himself the Holder of the Lens. The attendant will not acknowledge your request at first, but you must continue to ask. When she raises her head, she will give you a questioning look and ask if you are sure. If you have any doubt in your mind that you will not succeed, turn away quietly and never return. If you have no doubt of your impending victory, then give her a single nod. She will smile softly and lead you through a door behind the desk. The door will open into a steel-gray hall, straight and narrow, barely wide enough for the two of you to traverse. Large mirrors, spaced at odd intervals along the walls, will reflect the two of you along the path. You must look in every one of them as you pass. Should one of the mirrors show that the attendant has disappeared, begin to pray, for you will not be long in this world. However, should it be you missing from the mirror, stop and turn to face it. The attendant will turn around and push it aside, revealing a darkened room. Make sure to thank her before you step inside. The powers in this place do not tolerate a rude visitor. The mirror will slide silently back into place, coating the room in darkness, and a voice will begin to mutter nonsense words to itself for an indeterminate time. Should they stop, you must state calmly,
"I am only here to see a friend."
If the voice returns, it will not be a whisper, but a roar of anger that will shred your body, leaving your soul to be slowly consumed by the holder. If the room begins to light up, then you have intrigued him. You will find yourself in a small, dimly lit room, with only a single chair in the center of the light. Stand still. Do nothing until a voice asks you to sit, then do so. The holder will ask you many questions, and you must answer them truthfully, and not make any attempt to clarify their details. No matter how damning they might be, lying to him will bring out his demon, and you want to avoid that for now. When he is finished, he will thank you for your honesty and tell you that he wishes to know why you came. Ask him,
"May I see your face?"
The holder will laugh kindly, and a pair of glasses will drop into your lap. Take the time to think of the one thing that means the most to you, and put the glasses on. Now you will see the room in whole, oozing pestilent blood from every inch of every surface, save the small ring of illuminated floor. Do not stand until the holder asks you to, and when he does, leap up onto the seat of the chair immediately. The light will go out, and blood will rush to fill the gap, but you will still be able to see through the lenses. Look directly ahead of you, and politely ask to see the holder's face again. The blood that forms the wall will part like a curtain, and a figure will emerge. If it is anything but the figure that you pictured in your mind before donning the glasses, quickly remove them and throw them aside. If you are fast enough, the darkness will part to reveal the doorway of the institution you came to. Count yourself amongst the most fortunate. Should you be too slow, then your blood will be added to the rooms. Very, very slowly. If, however, it is the object, step down from the chair. Your feet will touch the blood, but you will not sink. Take 5 steps forward and halt. The object, whatever or whomever it may be, will move to match your distance. Take 3 more steps and wait for the object to move again. Then take a single step. This time, when the object moves, you must ball up a fist and strike it with all of the strength you can muster. Hold nothing back and press your fist through it. The surface will give way and shatter as glass, revealing a floating skull with chunks of putrid, rotting flesh still clinging to its visage. Pull your hand back immediately and do not examine the wounds on your hand. Bow and thank the holder as politely as you can. He will then ask, with horrid breath, if you wish to see your face. Politely decline and begin to turn away. A hand will place itself on your shoulder and the holder will insist. Now ask him,
"How did they see?"
The hand will then forcefully shove you down and you will sink into the bloody floor. As you pass, press a hand to your face and keep the glasses from falling away. their all that protects you. You will see scores of images, ghastly and demented, pass by your vision as you descend. In all of this, you must not divert your eyes in any way from these scenes, scarring as they might be, for one of them is you. As you pass your own mutilated image, reach out and touch it. The sea of blood will dissipate, replaced by complete darkness. When the door appears, open it. The light will be blinding, but you will find yourself safe, walking away from one of the institution's restrooms. Remember to say thank you, for the holder has enjoyed your company. The glasses you wear are Object 86 of 538. The eyes of clarity. When the time comes, you can see what they see. Number 87, Holder of Youth. In any city, in any country, go to any mental institution or halfway house you can get yourself to. When you reach the front desk, ask to visit someone who calls himself the Holder of Youth. The attendant will choke back a childish giggle and rise from her seat, motioning for you to follow. Do so, but do not show any emotion other than annoyance, for there are creatures watching you, waiting for a chance to erase your mind and make you do their foul bidding. The attendant will lead you through the facility, skipping merrily along and turning down hallways at a whim. Do not bother trying to remember the path, for it will soon be irrelevant. After what feels like hours of walking, she will turn into an empty room and halt abruptly, announcing that you have arrived. Follow her in and shut the door firmly, then move aside. She will wait, rocking gingerly on her heels, then bounce towards the door, opening it with little more than a grin. Through the door there will be a lush meadow, teeming with vibrancy and life. Follow your guide through the frame and stop when she does. She will then glance around nervously and lean towards you with apprehension in her eyes. She will speak a single, whimsical word, then depart, leaving through the door and closing it. You must make sure not to forget that word. Walk forward with rigid, stoic paces, keeping an angry visage upon your features. The guardians here know you do not belong, but will be too afraid to strike. For now, continue walking until you reach a ring of flowers and step inside it. They will all wilt suddenly, with the exception of one small portion. Go in that direction, and that direction only, for 44 paces. Then stop, turn to your right, and walk another 44 paces. When you stop for a second time, turn completely around. You should be in a dense, verdant forest. If you are not, then the guardians have mustered their courage, and no power in this place will try to save you. When you arrive, immediately take 3 steps backward. You should come to rest against a large tree. Vines and branches will snake over your body and hold you there, but do not struggle. No matter how tightly they constrict, you must not show your pain, but keep glaring forward, lest the tree decide to crush you on itself. When the growth stops, several children will burst from the bushes, laughing and playing, oblivious to your presence, and form a ring around the tree. As they begin to dance around it, they will sing in pleasant voices, a silly children's song, making the trees around them shudder with laughter. Whatever you do, do not speak or soften your face, but wait until the children pause and sit to catch their breath. One of them will finally notice you and ask what you are doing there. Tell them that you wish to see Father, and they will gasp as one. Should they begin to giggle, then your death will arrive soon, by creatures which no words could ever describe. Sternly tell them again that you wish to speak with Father, and their leader will hang his head glumly, muttering acquaintances to you. He will stand and walk away, leaving all the others around you. They will begin to speak to themselves and you, but you must not look at them, listen to them, or even think about anything they might say to you. They only seek to break your stoic mask and flee their punishment. If their words should ever cease, then growl at them. Stop pouting about it and enjoy yourselves. You must sound as menacing as possible, and they will resume talking. No one knows what happens if they remain silent. When the other child finally arrives, he will sit back down, and a tall, wizened figure will emerge from the thicket. He will stare at you, a gaunt, annoyed face that should match your own, and demand to know why you came here, of all places. Glare at him and ask, "Does it truly matter?" The figure will sigh darkly and begin a long-winded rant about the follies of youth. Stay silent, for he will not take kindly to interruptions. When he finally winds down, he will ask again why you are here. Ask him, "What were they before this?" The old man's eyes will flash with understanding, and he will sit on a nearby stone and begin to speak. He will tell you, in every possible detail, what they were in a time before time, when there was still a shred of goodness within what they kept. He will explain with a heavy voice the calmer times and tell you of the events that sparked their fall. Every slight, every delusion, every crushed dream will be laid bare by his words. As the old man speaks, the lush green around you will give way to blackened dead soil, rotting trees, and foul, half-rotting vegetation. Do not change your expression, and hold your gaze on the old man. The story will end with, "See what they have done to my children." The small figures that sat around you will now be festering corpses, all eyeing you with gleams of sadness in their putrescent faces, begging for release. They will stand and trot towards you with their father telling you that their hunger must be sated. Now, in your loudest voice, scream the word you were told when you arrived. Should you have forgotten or mispronounce it in any way, then you will spend the rest of eternity as the dead children's meal. Speak it correctly, and they should all fall to the ground, clutching their ears shut, and the constricting briars from the tree will shatter. Take the largest piece of wood that you can find, run toward the old man, and stab him in the neck with it. As he chokes on his own blood, he will hold a single rose aloft. Take it from his hand, as darkness will surround you, forcing you to choke and die like him. When your lungs feel as though they shall burst, you will find yourself at the door to the place you call home, gasping for air and clutching the flower in your clammy hand. That rose is Object 87 of 538. Forlorn Remembrance. Number 88, Holder of Void. In any city, in any country, go to any mental institution or halfway house you can get yourself to. When you reach the front desk, ask for someone who calls himself the Holder of Void. The worker will look at you as if you spoke in another language. Repeat your request once more. Any more, and your fate is best left unsaid, for our sake. The worker will stand, visibly shaken, and motion for you to follow. Do so, but look to your feet and carefully count your steps. Once your foot has fallen on the 64th step, stop. The worker will have disappeared. Turn to your left and knock thrice on the door in front of you. If there is no answer, turn around and try the same on the door behind you. If there is still no answer, then this game was not yours to play. You will wander the halls of the institution for the rest of eternity. But should a childlike voice ask you to come in, quietly open the door and step inside. The room will be simple, painted in solid ocean blue. There will be a child in the middle of the room, sitting at a table, playing what appears to be a cross between a board game and solitaire. The child will look at you with impossibly black eyes, eyes that seem to bore into your very soul and beyond. He will ask you, still staring, "Do you also want a card?" The next few moments will decide your fate. Stare into the child's eyes, but do not make a sound. Breathe quietly. He will eventually sigh and resume his game. He will pull a card out of a stack on the table. Should that card have a picture on it, the child will sigh again and throw the card to the ground. Whatever was depicted on the card will come to life. Flee, if you wish. If you're lucky, you will die of starvation and dehydration before the impossibly grotesque creature finds you within the halls. But, should the card be blank, ask in a loud, commanding voice,
"Why did they shatter?"
The boy will stare at you, into your mind, as if your very existence is being probed. Do not attempt to hide anything or fight. This holder's powers are more than what they seem, and you may very well lose your sanity where you stand. If you are still coherent when this examination finishes, you will find yourself falling asleep. Again, do not fight the feeling. You will wake up in the bed of where you call home, a small, round, pearlescent object in your hand. This object is 88 of 538.
For more information on this podcast, including how to submit your own story for consideration, please visit creepypod.com. You can also follow us at CreepyPod on social media and YouTube. All stories told on this podcast are done so through Creative Commons Sharealike licensing or with written consent from the authors. No portion of this podcast may be rebroadcast or otherwise distributed without the express written consent of the Creepy Podcast production team and the story's author.